Chapter 19. Beelzebub's tale about his second descent to the planet Earth. Beelzebub began thus. I descended to your planet Earth for the second time only 11 of their centuries after my first descent. Shortly after my first descent, a second catastrophe had occurred to that planet, but this one was local in character and did not threaten disaster on a great cosmic scale. During this second catastrophe, the continent of Atlantis, which at the time of my first descent had been the largest continent and the chief place of existence of the terrestrial three-brained beings, was engulfed within the planet, along with other large and small land masses, as were most of the three-brained beings existing there, together with almost everything they had achieved and acquired in the course of centuries. In their place, there emerged from within the planet other land masses forming new continents and islands, most of which still exist. It was on this very continent of Atlantis that the city of Semlios was situated, where, do you remember, that young countryman of ours had existed, who was the cause of my first descent in person. During this second great disaster to that planet, thanks to divers circumstances, many of the three-brained beings who have taken your fancy survived. And by the time of my second descent in person, their posterity had already multiplied so much that they were now breeding on almost all the newly formed land masses. And in regard to the causes, conforming to law, which brought about their excessive proliferation, this also you will understand in the course of my further tales. Here, my boy, it will do no harm for you to take note that the beings of our tribe existing on that planet at the time of this catastrophe all escaped that apocalyptic end. They escaped it for the following reasons. As I've already told you in one of our previous talks, at the time of my first descent, most of the beings of our tribe who had chosen this planet of yours as their dwelling place existed on the continent of Atlantis. It appears that a year before this catastrophe, our tribal pythoness made a prophecy in which she proclaimed that all our tribe must leave the continent of Atlantis and migrate to a smaller continent not far away, where they were to exist on a definite part of its surface that she indicated. This small continent was then called Grabantsi, and the part the pythoness indicated did indeed escape the terrifying perturbation that occurred to all the other parts of the common presence of that ill-fated planet. As a consequence of this perturbation, the continent of Grabantsi, existing today under the name of Africa, became much larger as other land masses emerged from the water spaces of the planet and were added to it. So, my boy, our pythoness was able to warn these members of our tribe who had been obliged to exist on your planet and thereby save them from an otherwise inevitable apocalyptic fate. And she was able to do this thanks to a special being property, which, by the way, can be acquired by beings only intentionally by means of what is called being, part called duty, about which I will tell you later. This time, the reasons for my descent to the surface of that planet were related to the following events. One day, on the planet Mars, we received an etherogram from the center announcing the imminent appearance of a certain most high sacred individuals. And in fact, within half a Martian year, a number of archangels, angels, cherubim and seraphim did appear there, the majority of whom had been members of the Most High Commission that had come to Mars at the end of the first great catastrophe to the planet Earth. Among these most high sacred individuals was again his conformity, the angel, now already archangel, Louisas, who, during the first great catastrophe to the planet Earth, as you remember, I recently told you, had been one of the chief administrators in charge of averting the possible consequences of that general cosmic misfortune. So, my boy, the day after the second appearance of those sacred individuals, his conformity, accompanied by one of the seraphim, his second assistant, did me the honor to come to my house. After giving me his blessing, his conformity condescended to reply to certain inquiries of mine about the great center, and then told me that after the collision of the comet Condor with the planet Earth, he and other responsible cosmic individuals administering the affairs of harmonious world existence had frequently descended to this solar system to observe the effects of the measures they had taken to ward off the consequences of that cosmic miscalculation. And we descended, his conformity continued, because, although we had taken every possible precaution and had assured everyone that everything would be quite all right, we ourselves were not totally convinced that some unforeseen unpleasantness might not await us in the future. Moreover, it turned out that our apprehensions were partly justified, though, thanks to chance, not in a serious form, that is to say, not on a general cosmic scale, since this new catastrophe affected only the planet Earth. The second catastrophe of the planet Earth, continued his conformity, was due to the following circumstances. When during the first disaster, two large fragments were detached from this planet, the center of gravity of its entire presence had no time to shift to a corresponding new position. As a result, right up to the time of the second catastrophe, this planet existed with its center of gravity out of place, thanks to which its movement during that whole period was not uniformly harmonious, and there often occurred, both within and upon it, various upheavals and displacements. And it was just when the center of gravity finally shifted to the true center of the planet that the second catastrophe occurred. But from now on, added his conformity with a shade of self-satisfaction, the existence of this planet will be quite normal from the point of view of common cosmic harmony. This second cataclysm has finally put our minds completely at rest and has convinced us that a catastrophe on a cosmic scale can never again occur on account of the planet Earth. Not only has this planet once more acquired a normal movement in the general cosmic equilibrium, but its two detached fragments, now called Moon and Annulus, have also acquired a normal movement and have become independent, those small Kofenschars, that is, additional planets of the solar system Oars. Having thought a moment, his conformity went on to say, I have appeared to you, your reverence, just in order to talk over with you the future welfare of the large fragment of that planet existing today under the name of Moon. Not only, his conformity continued, has this fragment become an independent planet, but there is already proceeding on it the formation of an atmosphere, as is necessary for every planet serving the actualization of the most great common cosmic Trogo-Auto-Egocrat. But now, your reverence, on that small, unexpectedly arisen planet, this regular process of the formation of an atmosphere is being hindered by an undesirable circumstance due to the three brain beings existing on the planet Earth. And this is why I decided to appeal to you, your reverence, to consent to undertake, in the name of our uni-being creator, a task that would spare us the necessity of resorting to some extreme sacred process that would be unbecoming to apply to any three-brained being whatever, and would, in some simpler way, remove this undesirable phenomenon by making use of the being reason they have in their presence. His conformity then explained to me in detail that after the second catastrophe to the earth, the biped three-brained beings who had accidentally survived had again multiplied, and that the whole process of their existence was now concentrated on a large, newly formed continent called Ashark, where three large independent groups had been established. The first in a region then called Tikliamish, the second in a region known as Meryl Placey, and the third in a country which still exists and was then called Pearlandia. In the psyche of the beings belonging to all three of these independent groups, his conformity went on to say, various peculiar havat vernonis have been formed, that is, certain psychic strivings, a total process of which they themselves call religion. Although these havat vernonis, or religions, have nothing in common, there is widely spread among all three groups a religious custom called sacrificial offerings. This custom of theirs is based on the notion, which only their strange reason could conceive of, that if they destroyed the existence of beings of other forms in honor of their gods and idols, these imaginary gods and idols would find it very, very agreeable and would help them without fail, always and in everything, to carry out their wild and fantastic enterprises. This custom is now so widespread there, and the destruction of the existence of beings of various forms has reached such proportions that there is already a surplus of the sacred Askokan required from the planet Earth for the maintenance of its former parts. A surplus, that is, of those vibrations that arise during the process of Roscoarno, of beings of every exterior form on that planet from which this sacred cosmic substance is required. This surplus of the sacred Askokan is already seriously hindering the correct exchange of substances between the moon and its atmosphere, with the danger that the atmosphere may, in consequence, be formed abnormally and later become an obstacle to the harmonious movement of the whole system of ores, and perhaps again give rise to yet another catastrophe on a great cosmic scale. So, Your Reverence, my request consists in this, that since you are in the habit of often visiting various planets of this solar system, you should undertake the task of descending specifically to the planet Earth and of trying to instill into the consciousness of these strange three-brained beings some idea of the senselessness of this notion of theirs. After a few more words, his conformity began to ascend into the atmosphere. And when he was fairly high up, he added in a loud voice, thereby, Your Reverence, you will be rendering a great service to our uni-being, all-embracing endlessness.